Amazing God, in our quest to know you, we discover much about ourselves and those who came before us. They speak to us through stories, and you call to us across time. Be present with us now as we remember sacrifice and seek peace in your world and in ours. Amen. So after Jesus condemns the scribes and the priests, the gospel reading goes on to talk about the woman who gives her last two copper coins as an offering to God. It's a pretty well-known story. I think many of us know about the widow's offering, or otherwise known as the widow's mite. If we close our eyes, we can even imagine what it was like to be there, looking on. Maybe even to be the woman herself. Let's give that a try. Let's take a moment and close our eyes. Let's go back to that time. It's a busy day at the temple. You're just trying to make your way around, to offer your prayers, to make the proper sacrifices, but also to see friends, to see family. You're surrounded by people, surrounded by animals that may have been brought for sacrifice. The smell is strong and earthy, because like you, many of these people are farmers, fishermen, people of the land. As you look around, you notice on the far wall there's some guy with a bunch of friends watching the comings and goings of the people in the temple. They don't look like guards, but while they talk, they are watching people pretty closely. You notice that one of the scribes of the temple leans in and asks a question of the one everyone seems to be listening to, and points to a richly dressed man at the offering table. Or is he? No, as the rich man moves off, you see an older woman, bent by many years of life and hard work. That's who the man is pointing at. You know her, don't you? She helped you with your kids at one time. Maybe she took care of you sometimes when you were young. Or maybe she took a couple dollars for some hard work on your farm. Or maybe she split her bread with you that one day when you had nothing. But what was her name? What was her name? After she makes her offering, she offers some prayers and begins to walk out. As she does, the man, surrounded by people, points at her and says something. You can't quite hear it, but it seemed to have an effect on all the people around. You can open your eyes now. Think about how you felt as you began to imagine the people crowding around you. Could you feel the space filling in? When you thought of the animals with them, you could almost smell the animals, right? We can all imagine what that smells like. What about the image of the woman? Bent with age, being the focus of scrutiny by the men on the wall. Did it make you feel curious? Did you feel compassion? Were you angry at their arrogance to scrutinize this woman? It's a story of a poor widow who gave everything that she had, having faith that God would help her in her time of struggle. But it's just a story, right? Even if it did happen 2,000 years ago, it's just a story now. And so why should we allow ourselves to be affected in any real way? Why should a story like this touch our hearts? But we can't help it, can we? Whether it's a work of fiction or a real-life story, we become emotionally invested in that woman. Isn't that why we tell stories in the first place? To be affected in some way? It's why we still tell the classic fables to children, because there is a lesson to be learned. And it's why we love a really good movie or a really good book, because they create for us another world to explore. That's what stories do. Many people believe that's exactly what we're doing when we tell stories. We're creating. In a way, when we tell a story, that's exactly, it becomes more than the something that happened yesterday or 2,000 years ago. For those hearing the story, it's being recreated. It's happening right there in the here and now. That's why stories of joy make us happy, and why stories of sorrow make us sad. It's why stories about the underdog overcoming adversity makes us cheer, because we put ourselves in the middle of it. These stories change us because part of who we are takes on that story. In a way, it's like the people from the story are sitting there with us, alive again in that moment, like the opportunities and trials that they faced are re-happening for us. Now, it might sound like a bit of a stretch, but what about those times we remember our own stories? Think about something significant in your own life. Sometimes it's like you can go back to that time, if only for a moment. What about someone you loved? Someone you lost? Every time that you remember them, they become alive in you. And you can just as be as affected by that memory as when it was first created. So why are we talking about stories today? Yes, they are important. They are a formative part of our lives. But there is another reason. Today is, of course, Remembrance Day, or at least our Remembrance Sunday. It's a day that we've set aside to take some time to honor our vets, support our soldiers, and remember the cost of freedom, a freedom that we often take for granted. When we listen to those who are on the front lines or otherwise engaged in these times of war, it's hard not to be moved emotionally, to be transported mentally, as if we were there with them, just like the story of the widow. When we hear these stories of war, we find ourselves in trenches and in tanks. We fly in planes or we move with our platoon. We hear the final cries of our friends as we hold them in our arms. No, they're not just friends. They're brothers and sisters, indeed, if not by blood. These are the stories that we must remember. These are the stories that we can't forget. Often these stories are ones of hard-fought struggle with harder-won victories. Stories like these remind us of the delicate nature of peace in our world and the precious cost paid by the lives of so many of Canada's own children, so many of God's own children. Like the widow in our gospel reading today, the men and women that we're remembering gave all of themselves for something that they believed in wholeheartedly. And so we are moved to continue to strive for peace and diplomacy, to use force as a last resort. But there's a very serious problem, a very real problem that we're facing as we move from year to year, from Remembrance Day to Remembrance Day. There are less people who lived those stories. Those who fought and saw friends die along the way. We're losing our storytellers. This reality leads to something frightening. Because when people stop telling a story, any story, we start to forget. And the memory of something is just as often as important as the thing itself. We as human beings often live to be remembered, to leave a legacy, to make our mark so that none shall forget that we were here. But why are we so afraid of being forgotten? The worst thing that happens to a memory is not that the honor of that memory will be destroyed. It's not that the great act that we or anyone does will lose its meaning. It's actually a lot worse than that. When we forget something, when we stop telling these stories, we consign those memories to oblivion. It's as if that never happened when we stop telling those stories, when we stop remembering. This is why the loss of our vets is a fearful prospect. Because if the story stops being told, how can we or the coming generations hope to understand the toll that wars have? The cost paid for the fragile peace that we live. For this reason, we are called to the greatest responsibility that we can have as Christians, as human beings. To remember. To be bearers of the story when the storytellers have left this world. This is a task that we've been doing when we pass down our scriptures from generation to generation. And this is what we must do to the stories of war and sacrifice to ensure that the world is never engulfed in the costly suffering that it's faced already. We must never forget. Amen.